You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside another edition of Talk with Champions Live. This time at lunch, my guy, Zach Perry. I'm Ben Garrett of the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of Home3. Zach also writes for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Sign up today for $1 and get full comprehensive coverage of Ole Miss Athletics, not just a football team in a playoff chase, but basketball. Wins last night impressively over Memphis. Elias Carmardine already announcing himself on the NBA, SEC, everything stage, man. Talk about one of the most, if not the most, NBA-ready player in Ole Miss history, man. What a great, great player. And also recruiting, because Ole Miss Florida this weekend is stacking up to be an absolutely loaded visitor list for the Florida game. Ole Miss is 9-1 for the first time in 63 years. We'll try to continue its playoff push with those Gators. Zach, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Morning. Last night was fun. It was a entertaining game. I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, you'd like for the Rebels to make a few more free throws. Probably would have helped pull away. I was talking with the legal gambling council throughout the game last night, which, reminder, we will be live tonight for Hit That Line. But yeah, Nick pointed that out. He was at the game, and he was like, man, that was the only reason that Ole Miss didn't really pull away from Memphis. But credit to Penny's crew. They hung around. Got a couple good players. I like the Doug McDaniel kid, hard-nosed guard. It's going to be good for Memphis and the Americans. So, yeah, you want Memphis to keep winning if you're an Ole Miss fan to bolster that resume. But, yeah, big statement. I was talking about it last night, and then Nick reminded me. I was like, Elias Carmardine's going to be a sleeper lottery pick type player. Technically can't be a lottery pick because his draft class has already passed, so he'll be a free agent. But, yeah, I mean, he's lottery pick caliber for sure. I mean, I thought last night was going to be a big test because Memphis is typically pretty physical. Penny's teams play hard. They get after you. They really, to kind of steal a football term here, they get on your toes as on-ball defenders. And he responded. I mean, he wasn't shaken at all by the physicality. And one thing that stood out to me before we move on, Ben, was it looks like 1 through 5, pretty much everybody on the Ole Miss bench can handle the basketball. A much more athletic team. I mean, everybody from Keza Giffa to Augustus Casilla to James Scott, I mean, they can all bring the ball to the floor. I mean, Malik Dia at times during the game was just bringing the ball up like a point guard, which is, you know, I guess that's kind of the way basketball is these days with the NBA and how everything has shifted to being a more positionless basketball game. But impressive showing from Ole Miss to withstand a late run from Memphis and get to 3-0.
We're having trouble right now with the YouTube stream. I don't know what's going on with it right this second. Hopefully it'll come live sooner rather than later. Sorry if you're trying to watch on YouTube. Yeah, I don't know what really has happened here. StreamYard on the back end at least has made things a little bit difficult for me as we kind of roll along here. But thank you to all of you who are already joined us, who have already joined us.
Got a comment there on YouTube, so maybe it's working.
Maybe it's working. Hopefully it's working. I was watching my own stream. There we go. Okay. What's up, fellas? Says Joseph Moore, 8556. Now I feel like we're getting closer and closer to what we're used to doing here on Talk of Champions. This is a recruiting dominant edition of Talk of Champions. Ben Garrett here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than our friends at Riverland Roofing. So our thanks to them. So far, what do we know about the visitor list?
Right now, outside of what either I've been told by guys, or guys are posting stuff on the internet that they are traveling. And I've talked to a couple people in the building. They've assured me the list is going to be big. And yep. We probably won't get a full, complete list until late Friday, Saturday morning, just because guys are going to reach out late, come late. I know that the Ole Miss football recruiting Twitter account tweeted out that it's sold out, the recruiting section, that is. But, yeah, they're going to make room for guys if they want to come. But right now, you've got Craig Tutt, Ole Miss commit from Oakland here in my neck of the woods up in Murfreesboro. You've got Ole Miss commit Jamichael Garrett from Baton Rouge. You've got Ole Miss commit Dorian Barney from Carrollton, Georgia. And then a couple interesting ones here, as we've talked a lot about Tavian Branch for the last couple weeks, the Penn State commit from Pennsylvania. He is finally coming for his official visit. He was supposed to come for South Carolina, pushed it back to come for Florida. Probably going to be some news one way or the other with him pretty soon. He teased that earlier today that some news would be coming soon. He will be in town. And then another one last night, our very own Chad Simmons reported that Florida commit Carson Baker would be in town this weekend for an official. He is a running back from Langston Hughes High School in Georgia. Really talented player, 6'1", close to 200 pounds, can really run, been around high 10.5, 10.6 in the 100-meter. Really good athlete, and a guy that's starting to look around with the uncertainty in Florida. Was at Kentucky last week. Got to see Kentucky put it on Florida. He's probably going to take some more visits, according to Chad, but he will be in Oxford this weekend. And then the one that I'm keeping a close eye on is Micah Nickerson from South Pike down in South Mississippi. Been committed to Missouri for a while. He was committed to Mississippi State at one point, but someone that Ole Miss recently offered, and a very intriguing skill set. Been 6'5", probably 215, 220. Really long, athletic dude that you need on the edge in this era of college football. So those are the 26s right now. Visitors is what I mean by that. 27s, there's going to be a good amount as well right now. The ones that I know for sure, four-star Caden Scott, an offensive tackle out of Texas, and then some three-stars, Javarius Griffin from Cleveland Central, Mississippi, and then Mikkel Steven, running back out of Madison Central. And then a recent offer, Jeremiah Culpepper out of Georgia. He will be in town. He's recently got offers from Alabama and Ole Miss. So it's going to be bigger. We will get a finalized list as best as we can. But, yeah, regardless, it's going to be a big showing. And I think Lane Kiffin's going to look to make a statement in more ways than one on Saturday.
From Alex Hazelwood, 1117, is the Penn State flip going to be at the game?
Yes, that is Tavian Branch.
That's Tavian Branch. Just letting the people know, you know, just in case you came for one thing specifically. And of all these guys, Tavian Branch is probably up there as far as flip potential candidates for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know, there are a number of guys out there, quite frankly, for you. Who's really the atop that list? We do this every single week, but I feel like they're like, for me, some might expect us to go the avenue or the way of a Jace Matthews for obvious reasons. But as I wrote last week on the Ole Miss Spirit, Ole Miss has absolutely crashed the race for four-star edge Micah Nickerson. And while it's going to be a tough pull for them, I truly believe that right now, if you made me, you know, put my money on who I think, and what I think doesn't really matter, is the most likely of the current candidates of flip guys. I'm not sure it's not Micah Nickerson, who is you know, I know Ole Miss has absolutely prioritized him, especially here late in the process. And I know that Randall Joyner is considers him one of the best rush edge prospects he's ever seen. So he would be my pick for you. Is it Micah or is it somebody else?
It's probably him or Branch. Randall kind of said the same thing to me. He said more unique and impressive skill sets he's seen from the state of Mississippi recently at that edge rush position. So high praise, because Randall's recruited some good ones, some damn good ones. Yeah, I think Branch would be one, Nickerson would be two, as far as kind of next potential commit. Both are flips. I think Branch ultimately kind of shutting things down essentially by saying he was only going to see Ole Miss and that was it. Now he's hinting at some news. I mean, barring something going terribly wrong, which official visits rarely do, I think Ole Miss could have some good news on the horizon there. And then Nickerson, yeah, I mean, I think taking the visit, he wanted to go to Mississippi State last week. And look, can't blame him, man. I mean, he wanted to go see Mississippi State, Georgia. He didn't want to come to Ole Miss first, the Citadel. Who can blame him, right? But now he gets to come, night game at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, Ole Miss, Florida. So he'll get an up-close and personal look at Randall Joyner's crew, which, man, don't look now, Ben, but that Ole Miss defense is kind of rounding into form, huh? Ranked nationally, I believe. I just wrote about it when I was sending my pick in to
Just wrote about it too. Ole Miss is 9-1 for the first time in 63 years. They've since the Georgia disaster climbed into the top 30 nationally in pass defense, scoring defense, total defense, held their opponents to an average of 168 total yards over the last two games. And the sack totals have really been a standout as well, because in the first five games, Ole Miss had just five sacks. They've recorded 11 of their last three for 21 on the season. They're doing a lot of good things defensively, and Pete Golding deserves a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, the number I was looking for, 18th nationally in third down defense. So huge. Getting off the field.
Getting off the field.
So, yeah, a lot of defensive guys coming in. Going to get to see a defense that is really starting to turn the corner at the perfect time, as you want to win these last two and get to 11-1 and host a first-round playoff game. So, again, we'll keep you abreast of the list as it continues to grow at omspirit.com, as guys are kind of slowly either, you know, announcing they're coming or texting me, DMing me or Ben, or letting us know. They'll let the staff know. We'll find out and we'll do our best to get you that full list. But yeah, it's funny that you've seen kind of this recent surge in, I mean, Lane Kiffin, just the consummate troll. Going after a lot of Florida guys, which, you know, Ole Miss isn't the only program. I mean, people are trying to poach Florida's commits because they don't have a coach right now. And you don't know what, you know, who on the staff is still going to be there next year. But Carson Baker, running back from Langston Hughes, which Ole Miss that was his first SEC offer, was Ole Miss from Kevin Smith. So sometimes that matters. Not a lot, because, you know, it's about money now, but could matter. And then Ole Miss is also going after another Florida commit in IMG Academy interior offensive lineman. I'm definitely going to butcher this name.
Just go for it.
Geniver Carr. G'NIVRE. Apologies to the Carr family if I screwed that up. But
that's about right.
Big interior guy. You know, if you start on the offensive line at IMG, you're talented. Ole Miss and Tennessee are both pushing for him to try to give him something to think about before signing day, as he is mulling over his decision to play for the Gators in college. So, it's going to be a big weekend. Home finale, senior night, night game, all the makings of a big-time atmosphere for Ole Miss.
Rebel Grizz 390, what's going on, Chief? Chase Parman, my buddy over at Rebels 247, said it bugs you, Ben, when he called you that. When Chase does, yes. I love Chase Parham. And I will also tell him to his face, like I'll tell everybody, like I'll tell anybody, dude, no one is the most like pretentious when it comes to, like, he does it because it needles me. You know, it's like, oh, well, hold on there, Chief. You know what I mean? But no, not really. I don't really care. I love Chase Parham. But yeah, it used to bug the crap out of me when his little pretentious butt would call me Chief. And I love that dude to death, man. And he reported something yesterday, or maybe, I don't know. I don't have access to their website or anything like that. And I'm not a regular listener to their podcast, but I know Chase is been reporting that, you know, the Lane stuff. I mean, everybody knows the Lane stuff at this point. He hadn't made a decision. Florida is very much a threat. You know, there's rumblings about LSU pushing and pushing as well. I haven't really heard much of that. I know they want him, but I just don't think that they're much of a candidate here, or at least they're not really in play, best I can tell so far, which isn't much of anything. But, you know, Chase has talked a lot about the Florida piece too. And, you know, one thing I know that we're all trying to figure out is a couple of things. One, last week, you know, was there a meeting of some kind with representation, Lane, whoever, Zoom call, whatever you want to call it, with Florida? We've heard some of those rumblings. I've heard that Keith was with Jimmy Sexton and with Lane all day on, I think, Sunday, but haven't been able to verify because no one's really talking. And now you've got, and this is the thing for me, I do a podcast, or I produce a podcast with Knox Kiffin. It's supposed to be Knox's show. It's been kind of hard logistically to get it going. And then Chad Simmons today runs a story, and he asked him directly about the Florida rumors. And Knox said,
It was Adam Gorney.
It was Adam Gorney. Forgive me, Chad. I don't know anything about it, and I don't think he's really worried about anything. He's just trying to go to the playoffs. I don't think he's worried about any of that until after the season. I made a point. I was not going to ever ask Knox about that. It just felt skeezy. It already feels skeezy or weird enough talking to him every, you know, every week about it, about his career and stuff like that. I, you know, there's for me a line of demarcation with some of this stuff, and that was one of them. But again, another non-committal answer from someone else asked publicly about Lane's deal. I still think I would classify it as one of two options. He's either going to sign that Ole Miss extension or go to Florida. Maybe Neil's right and that LSU will really push too, because I somebody brought it to our board at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On Three, and said that you know, LSU is about to make, try to, or at least offer him, you know, to be the highest paid coach in college football and from an average annual value standpoint. But Ole Miss is willing to match and will match any of that. That means, like, if he went to 13, if LSU went to $13.5 million, Ole Miss is willing to go that high. It's not going to be anything that Ole Miss didn't do if he ends up leaving, and still more non-committal things so far from him during the week that we all expected to be a circus. And the Ole Miss beat, Sam Hutchins, Neil, you know, asking more direct Florida questions has been good. I asked one of Lane on Sunday night, and still giving opportunities to kind of, like, you know, end this if they wanted to, not doing so. What did you make of this?
I mean, I don't know. I met Knox last summer at a camp, and
good kid. He's literally Lane though, dude. Like, he is mini Lane.
Yeah, good kid.
Pretty good. He's a kid. Why are we asking?
I don't think he wants to talk about his dad. I think he just wants to play ball. If anything, he wants to talk about him. He wants to talk about him playing. I mean, he's been playing well.
Yep. More tutties in the little egg bowl last week.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Like, throwing to Kevin Smith's son.
Kevin Smith Jr. is a legit prospect, man, as a wide receiver. Had three of those four tutties.
Yeah. And, you know, Lane talked about, you know, he had some players there watching the game. Pretty
cool. That was really cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool environment with, you know, you hate that it came because, you know, somebody got hurt, but Knox was kind of thrown into the fire and he's responded. So, yeah, I mean, I think that he would much rather talk about his teammates and him trying to win a state championship. But the thing about all the job stuff, Ben, people got to make up their mind, because I hear all the time about how Lane Kiffin is childish, and he's so immature, and he's such a dork, and, you know, he can never win the big game, but now everybody wants to hire him. So it's, you know, people got to make up their mind what they actually think about Lane Kiffin. But, you know, all jokes aside, everybody's going to want to hire Lane Kiffin. I mean, he's widely considered one of the better coaches in the country. I'd say he's a top five coach, especially in this era and in landscape of college football, with roster management and, you know, dealing with the infrastructure of NIL and the transfer portal. I don't think anybody's doing it as good as him. I think if you You can make a case for Joey McGuire at Texas Tech as someone else that's thriving in this era. But, yeah, I mean, what Kiffin said a couple weeks ago, I think is true. Like when this kind of noise happens, it's a reflection of your program and your players and how well you're playing. And I know people want to get an answer. I posted some nuggets on the board today about what I'm hearing. I'm talking with some national people in the industry around the country and asking what they think, but it doesn't really matter. I put it in the thread. I was like, you know, hey, this isn't really groundbreaking stuff, but no one knows anything. Like, so we're not going to know anything until we know it, because he's not talking. He's made it very clear that he's not going to talk until, you know, at least the regular season's over. He didn't really specify when he said at the end of the season or end of the year what he meant. I think there's probably going to be some resolution after the Egg Bowl. And look, I don't think that there's going to be a way that Lane Kiffin cannot stay and it not get out and coach in the playoffs. Like if there's a world, Ben, where he decides I'm going to go to Florida after the Egg Bowl, there's no way you're coaching the playoffs. There's no chance.
I just love this question. What's going on? Chase said it bugged you when you called him chief. I forgot that Chase used to do that. That's so funny. But yes, I agree with you. Here's the question. If he takes the Florida job. Oh, this is exactly where I was going. Michael Reed, 50-26. If he takes the Florida job, Keith Carter should not let him coach the playoffs. Absolutely not. And I've been getting that question pretty regularly the last couple of days. And initially I was like, well, you know, let him finish the job, win the title. That's all that matters anyway. Yeah. But also, I understand why you wouldn't do that. It'd be wild, too, you know, when Alabama went on his run and he took the FAU job and Saban was like, all right, go do your thing. Rather, like, if it happened to him twice and it didn't get to be a part of a playoff run, that'd be absolutely wild. But, like, I get the point of view that you don't let him do that, because imagine what it would be as far as a jumping-off point for whoever the next coach is. It'll be like when David Cutcliffe took over for Tubbs for the Independence Bowl on steroids. You know what I mean? Like, you remember how the fan base immediately jumped on board with Cut and all that kind of stuff, and it was such a seminal moment in a lot of ways for Ole Miss and what it could be after a disastrous, former coaching stuff, coaching rumor stuff thing with Tommy Tuberville, who was much more declarative than Lane Kiffin, who'd just been noncommittal when he said, you're going to have to pull me out of here in a pine box.
Well, I don't think Kiffin would want to stay either. I mean, he wasn't a head coach, but this exact thing happened when he was at Alabama and they were in the playoffs and he took the FAU job.
Yep.
I mean, Saban's like, you know, hey man, thanks for everything, but you know, no. You're done.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Kiffin was going to go and start working and putting together staff and recruiting at FAU anyway. He's not going to want to stick around. And yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like literally before Michael asked the question was like, if you're Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce, you know, thanks for everything, but bye. You're done. Like that's not crazy. Like that's just business. There's no way you let him stay and coach.
Yeah. Which I completely understand. And I think I've come around to that line of thinking as well. The problem is like, if he doesn't come make a decision within a considered amount of time, that's where it becomes a real problem. And I know there's a lot of frustration right now on Ole Miss's side specifically about that. I appreciate the whole, well, I'm focused on this. I'm only going to focus on the season. I don't want to think about those things until the end of the year. Well, that's nice and good for you. But because of the timeline in college football these days and what we have to, and how it's been expedited and pushed up to where there are legitimate, there's a legitimate reason why Ole Miss would say, hey, we need to know sooner rather than later, probably after the Egg Bowl, because you're really going to be coaching a playoff game, potentially still going to Florida on December 25 days before Christmas. That's absurd. Even more than that, it's like it's so inconsiderate to the school that really brought you back, quite frankly, that allowed you to become this new version of yourself, to rehabilitate yourself, to be the hottest coaching candidate, even though you have not done what others have done in this space yet, but you're being treated with that kind of deference, mainly because the pool is so pathetic. But, you know, Ole Miss would want to talk to John Sumrall, Alex Golish. I mean, a number of guys that they'd have real interest in. That, and, like, Auburn's already pushing for John Sumrall. And if Ole Miss doesn't get even the opportunity to talk to those, whether or not they hire him or not is immaterial. Ole Miss wants to be able to interview candidates and make the best possible hire it can, right? And it's not going to be able to do that if Lane drags us out. Sure, let it be. Let it be that, you know, if Florida wants to wait on him and is willing to, like, they what else are they going to do? They've won three games, right? Like, they don't care. They'll punt next year. We'll wait until the very last minute if they want to. Ole Miss can't wait because it's got the playoffs and a title. And more than that, like, just from a decency standpoint, you need to give the school that gave you everything and gave you full autonomy, you need to give that school an opportunity to make the best hire possible. And you do not do that the later you make a decision here. So I think you're right. I think after the Egg Bowl is important. And, you know, I still would put my money on the Ole Miss extension. Having said that, Florida is real, and you're right. You know, it doesn't matter if it's me, Neil, Chase, my guys over there at Rebels 247, Chase, calling me Chief. That is so funny. Chuck, whoever it might be, Zach, you know, Jake, it doesn't matter. Whoever's reporting something, like, no one really knows. Of course they don't. I mean, we're not, you know, we don't have a crystal ball with this stuff here. All we can tell you is what we're hearing. And still what I'm hearing today, I would put my money on the Ole Miss extension, but it's a coin flip. And I've been consistent about that for 2 weeks. And for Knox not to say anything, like, my whole deal is, like, why would you ask Knox about that? You know what I mean? That made no sense to me. Because, like you said, this is just a kid, man. You know, like, this is just a kid that is enjoying himself and enjoying his own process. And, you know, like, I don't get that at all. I don't understand why you would ask him. He's not going to tell you anything anyway. I've just been appreciative of Ole Miss, our beat, you know, asking him much more direct questions about it, you know, because he's had to actually say, you know, what's going on. He's like, I'm not there yet. Well, that's the most honest thing you've said in weeks about it.
Yeah, and I think – I don't know. The way Lane Kiffin operates – I wouldn't be shocked if he did something this weekend. I mean, I was joking with friends that Lane Kiffin comes on the Jumbotron with Jimmy Sexton, signs the extension, and starts the Are You Ready before the kickoff. Like, that'd be perfect, Lane Kiffin. He could do it after the game. He could do it on, you know, Ole Miss announces it. Maybe Lane's told Keith and Glenn, like, hey, wait till after we beat Florida and we announce it on Sunday and head into the bye week before the Egg Bowl with all this momentum, and we control the media circus with the announcement, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe he's truly waiting until after the Egg Bowl because he knows that these two games are huge to get to the college football playoff for the first time ever in the history of the program. Huge.
That's all that matters here for Ole Miss. It's still only good problems.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 11-1 for the first time ever in program history. Never won 11 games in the regular season. He's won 10, but he's never won 11. And that's – both things can be true. It can be dumb that if he's staying, he hasn't announced it and hasn't signed the extension and gotten it out of the way. But it's also true that he is as competitive as anyone in this business and wants to win 11 games and get a first-round playoff game in Oxford and wants to continue to build his program. I mean, both things can be true. I mean, I understand Ole Miss fans, you know, that's kind of the thing when people, you say something about, well, I heard this or I heard that, and then people say, okay, cool, sign the extension. We don't care. I get it.
Yeah.
But this is kind of one thing where he's probably going to do it on his terms because that's Lane Kiffin. He does everything on his terms. So, I would expect something soon. Because I don't think he even wants to drag it out into the playoffs. I don't think he can.
Well, you.
I don't think in the timing, Ben, this is what's so interesting and, like, fascinating about this is if
the Ole Miss, more Ole Miss keeps winning, it's better for Ole Miss.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's
period.
Because, like, I know Florida, they're saying that they're fine with waiting, But man, if you're Florida and you wait until January, either early January, mid-January, depending on how far Ole Miss gets in the playoff, and Lane Kiffin still says no, like, you're hiring a coordinator or some G5 coach that your fans are going to hate and want to fire him after 2 years because he goes 7-5 and, you know, 8-4 or whatever.
Right.
It's a very risky thing to do, and people still speculate whether or not Scott Strickland's going to survive this. I mean, this is literally his career on the line, and it's far be it from
me.
That
for me, put my
career on the line with someone like Lane.
See, that's what for me.
It was so just.
But that's for me. Like, that's why Lane to Florida is even more of a threat, because desperation changes a man. And Scott Strickland is probably on his last football hire if he doesn't get it right. And everybody over there at Florida wants Lane Kiffin. I think he's I think that's who they like. It's going to be hard to sell them in on anybody else. So it's all going to come down to whether or not Lane Kiffin wants to go or stay. And so far, he has intentionally kept his options open when he's given been given every opportunity to say straight up whether he wants to stay or whether he's going to stay or not. It's totally his right, man. Like, no, like, it ain't personal. It's business. Get it completely. But from the same business standpoint, yeah, if you're Ole Miss, you can't let him coach the playoffs. Because as Michael Redd, 5026, at some point you have to protect the Ole Miss program. Keith Carter really should press for an answer after the Egg Bowl. The further it drags out, the deeper we are program overseason at that point. Right, because, like, then you're just kind of limited to your in-house options. If it's that late, if it's, you know, Christmas, January, you've got – all right, do you promote Pete Golding or do you promote Joe Judge? Because Pete's not going anywhere. I mean, Pete was asked, like, I heard, I haven't verified it, but, like, it's well-sourced that, like, Lane, they were talking about, well, if I left, would you go with me? That was earlier in the year. And Pete was like, no, dude, no. Like, he has a contract unique to Ole Miss. And part of that is because of family considerations. He came to Ole Miss not just for the football and to be the coordinator for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, but because his wife's from here. All the same things that Florida's like talking about with Lane Kiffin and why he's so going to go. His ex-wife, like, she's the daughter of a legendary Florida Gator, blah, 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 blah. Same things are applicable, at least as far as personal connection for Pete Golding, and he's already here. And at that point, you know, you might not have many other options, and that's what we're talking about. You have to be considerate to Ole Miss here, because Ole Miss is not only the school that, like, gave you this rebirth, this rebranding opportunity, but the way it bent over backwards to not only give you everything you wanted, but to allow you to do whatever you wanted, full autonomy in that way, which you, if you're going to, you know, voluntarily give that up, hey, more power to you. I'd call you dumb. I'd call you misguided, short-sighted, or maybe you haven't had the growth you claim to have had if you're going to really make that kind of move. But, you know, that's not my business. My business is the business of Ole Miss. And the business of Ole Miss is not operating like it needs to if their only options are in-house options, right? That's not then maybe they can get creative or a Joe Brady or something like that from the NFL or whatever. But like you're to limit their options for them when they, you know, for 6 years have been over backwards for you would just be a shitty thing to do. And but he's shown no, like absolutely no desire to put any of this to bed. Grandpa Hoppy, Paul Feinbaum said yesterday, Lane needs to take Florida. He has peaked and nothing further can be done. Paul Feinbaum is a dinosaur. And I have no idea, like, good on him. But, like, listen to the last handful of truly, like, outlandish headline-grabbing things Paul Feinbaum has said and check them against the reality and the truth. He's a shock jock now. That's all Paul Feinbaum is. He's a shock jock.
He's an idiot. He needs
I didn't say he was an idiot because we're all idiots.
He needs Lane Kiffin to be unhinged, and he needs Joey Freshwater.
Ole Miss fans, Chris Beard and the Rebels are back. That means fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. From Malik D and Elias Carmadine and other Rebels, that's points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. The NBA is in full swing. Think Ja Morant will go over 4.5 rebounds for the Grizzlies? I do too. How about 24.5 points? Just a few simple clicks and it's winning time. I speak from experience, and if I can do it, anyone can. It's that simple. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playandgetterms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Like when Lane Kiffin like matured and grew up and got to Ole Miss and, you know, rehabbed his whole image and became a winner, Feinbaum didn't like it. He needs Lane to be a punchline and he needs that to, you know, talk about on his, you know, Mari Povich SEC Network television show. Whatever. We had somebody in the chat, I think probably a Florida fan. They mentioned Scott Strickland's last hire won a national championship. Okay, I get it, but this we're talking about football.
Football. Like,
yeah, Florida basketball is good, and Todd Golden is a star, whatever. But this is about football. Like these fans want Florida Gators football to be elite. Like I'm sure they enjoy winning in basketball, but football is king. Football will always be king. And I'm sure they appreciate Todd Golden being the coach, but they want Scott Strickland to get the right guy for football because that is clearly all they care about.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, the same person was asking about kicking Lane out for the playoffs. Like, yes, you don't let him coach. Florida wouldn't let him coach. Florida's going to be like, no, we just hired you. You come here and get to work.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's how it works. The whole thing, like, Lane has stuck to his guns, whether people like it or not, with how he handles the outside noise. He's going to let Jimmy Sexton do his job and handle that, and Lane is going to coach this football team. And look, you talked to Caleb Odom the other day, and he said it.
He's awesome.
Daquan Wright said it. Like, Caden Lee said it. Like, they're all like, hey, we're locked in. We're trying to go 1-0 every week.
That's the thing that really drives me crazy. That's the thing that drives me crazy because somebody said this in the chat. Let me find it.
But that's the
Caleb James
mindset thing.
Yeah, this season is legendary, being overshadowed once again by the media circus. Well, media circus, the Trinidad short story is not getting enough publicity. It would be a dereliction of duty to not ask him about these things because that's what we get asked about constantly. And he makes $9 million a year. The least he could do is be honest about this. I was glad to hear him say, yes, you know, on Monday or whatever it was that I'm not there yet. Okay, that's real. That's honest. And that at least adds some clarity to this. But you're right. It's unfortunate that we're even talking about this. And I think Lane has done a great job of keeping Ole Miss focused with that 1-0 mentality. We've talked about that, how he really has kept that group, that special group, focused on the here and now. What he said to them before Oklahoma about how that, you know, coming after me, dude, that's just a compliment to y'all. I thought that was well handled. But there's no denying the complicated nature because this is big business, Caleb, right? What I'm telling you is a legitimate consideration and concern from the Ole Miss business side of things, okay? Like, they need an answer, and they're not getting any. And, yeah, no one knows anything. That's the point. Like, Ole Miss needs some type of indication one way or another. But, like, it's already vetted candidates and all of those things. Keith has a list. But,
you're always doing that.
Yes. It would handicap Ole Miss, however, if the decision came so late. Because then you're limiting the pool of candidates you would want to pull from. You want to hire the best candidate from the biggest pool that you can. I think Ole Miss would move quickly. I think John Sumrall would be in the door the next day, potentially, for an interview, because they love, like, John Sumrall has quite literally, he'll tell you, replicated Lane's model at the G6 level. at Tulane. So you talk about a seamless, like you want to talk to that guy. If your floor is Pete Golding promoted or Joe Judge promoted and Charlie Weiss remaining as offensive coordinator on his own, or you go make your own hire if it's Joe or Pete and they say, you know what, you know, I want to go swing really, really big here. And they go get a name like Mike Norvell did with getting Gus Malzahn. Like, who's to say Ole Miss, with if Mike Norvell gets gone, they don't say, all right, but let's bring Gus in to be the offensive coordinator for a Pete Golding coach team, a Joe Judge coach team. That's a great floor, but it shouldn't be the only option available to you. And that's all in, that's all kind of you know, reliant upon whether or not Lane Kiffin makes a decision, a legitimate decision, within a considerate amount of time. Right now, it's still happening. It's still, you know, it's still going on, but, you know, and that's okay. But once the Egg Bowl is over, you got 3 weeks. Like, I really think there should be movement next week during the bye, one way or another. I keep getting absolutely blown up. Sorry.
Yeah,
about
that. I could see that too.
Because, you know, I mean, I could see that because it would make sense. Just be honest about it, is all I was getting at. And before I let you get to your point real quick, because my guy, Joseph Moore, let me find it, Joe's. He said, no, this is Stacey Reed. Even better. Ben, enough Kiffin talk. Let's get real. Is Chris Jericho coming back to WWE? What's your thoughts on Joe Hendry? First of all, Chris Jericho is absolutely coming back. They're going to need it after they've really thank God for John Cena this year. Because, yes, the heel turn was absolutely botched. It was an awesome moment. But for John Cena, man, he has carried really terrible booking decisions all year. And when he's gone, the hole that's going to leave in his retirement tour – bring in Jericho, let it be fun, break the walls down. Yes, he's coming back. As far as Joe Hendry, I hope Joe Hendry is John Cena's last opponent. So, because you got to go out on your back. If you're a wrestler, you go out putting somebody over. Why not Joe Hendry? If not Joe Hendry, put over Drew McIntyre even harder. You know, make him the monster that he needs to be. You know, those are the real questions, not whether or not Lane is staying or not. And here's the thing. I'm still of the opinion, Zach, and like from everything I know, however you value that, would I write at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, Philip 13? Would I talk about here on Talk of Champions? Any of that, however you value it, I still would put my money on the Ole Miss extension for a number of reasons. Not because I don't think he's seriously entertaining Florida or that I'm a homer. It's more to do with all of the factors, the timeline and Ole Miss winning. And Ole Miss winning is far and away the only important thing for you, the Ole Miss fan. Because it's all nothing but good problems. If the worst outcome here is Ole Miss wins, gets to the playoff and wins, maybe wins a national championship, and you have to roll with Pete Golding as your head coach, so be it. So, like, what a great floor, you know what I mean? But you don't want to have to limit yourself. You want to be operating at peak capacity, and him waiting would just not be that. But Knox, but like asking Knox about it, dude, is just not, that is not the way. You know what I mean? I don't get that. I've avoided it. I just felt skeezy about it. What are we doing?
I know. And that's the unfortunate thing, because Adam Gorney gets him for an interview, and that's the headline is asking the son of Lane Kiffin what he like. Like you said, even if Lane sat down with Knox the other night to, you know, I don't know, watch Netflix or something, and Knox asked him and Lane said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, and this is when I'm going to do it. He's not telling you.
No.
But, yeah, no. I mean, let the kid talk about what he's doing.
I'm saying, like, Lane saying this week, I'm not there yet, was the most honest thing he said publicly all for the last however many weeks about this. You know, I appreciated that because it isn't personal. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you're like, well, because I've gotten a lot of this, you know, from high-end sources to the fans that just are curious.
Well, that's what I've said.
That press conference didn't give you the warm and fuzzies. They're like, man, this is the first time I'm really thinking, he might be gone here. Because he was given every opportunity and intentionally veered away. So to get that legitimate piece of like honesty, that brief moment of honesty, and not to say Lane's dishonest, but like he's kept things close to the vest for obvious reasons. He's negotiating with schools. He's got, yeah, he wants to protect his leverage. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying it's dishonest. But the most honest thing he said about it in a public facing way was, I'm not there yet. Okay. Well, at least if you're Ole Miss now, you got to like, that's more than you've gotten probably privately. And yeah, you've already been vetting and thinking about true candidates, but now you can really gauge and do your due diligence, just as he is obviously doing his due diligence about other opportunities.
Well, that's again, like, whether you like it or not, he's at least being honest. And I don't know. Our guy Poopy Dukes on the board brought it up.
That's my guy, Poopy Dukes.
And I think it's a good point. Lane is a big analytics guy.
Yep.
You know, he literally has someone follow him around on the sideline with the book.
Yep.
And he
his interpretation of the book, to be completely, you know, because he's made some revisions.
So he's going to look at everything from every angle. And I feel like, as someone who does that for their job at a high level, you're probably doing that with every other thing in your life. So he is analytically looking at this from a black and white perspective of, okay, let's compare everything. Let's do the pros and cons. Let's look at all the blah, blah, blah. I think he's being honest when he says that, you know, he's not there yet, because he's, one, he's trying to win football games.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, if Lane Kiffin can score 94 points on Saturday, he's going to score 94 points.
But he's going for a video game score no matter what on Saturday. Yeah. And that's the beauty of the 1-0 mindset. It's like everybody else is worried about what could happen. And I'm even though we spent most of this podcast talking about this, I have been trying to implore Ole Miss fans, and they're saying, well, you tell us not to worry about this bit. No, I'm not telling you not to worry about it. I get that. But, like, look where Ole Miss is, the football team. Lane Kiffin still isn't Ole Miss football. Ole Miss football, for the first time in 63 years, is 9-1. I've got a newspaper up here, right here. I've got a newspaper clipping from 2001. One of my favorite – it's my favorite football game of all time. I was on the 50 with my brother and my brothers and my dad. It was Ole Miss, Alabama. Ole Miss hadn't beaten Alabama in forever. It felt like infinity. They were never going to beat Alabama, 27-24 with Eli. In the rain, Joe Gunn from Amory, Mississippi, going over and in. You know what I mean? My favorite game of all time. And in that moment, right then and there, it felt bigger than life, right? And we've given over a little bit of what we love about this sport to cults of personality. And Lane deserves a statue forever, what he's done to bring Ole Miss out of the mess it was in after Matt Luke, right? And the NCAA stuff that was still permeating out of the Hugh Freeze era, and made Ole Miss win in ways it's never won before, going for an unprecedented third straight 10-win season at Ole Miss. All great things. Still hadn't made the playoff. Still really hadn't done one dick. Still hadn't been to the SEC championship in Atlanta. Like, I appreciate he is capitalizing on the time that is his, where he's been the most hot he's ever been. All Lane Kiffin's ever wanted to be was at the center of everyone's attention in a good way. And that's where he is right now. I'm thrilled for him and the opportunities ahead for him. As far as Ole Miss, it's bigger, like it was that day in the rain against Alabama. It's bigger than just a Lane Kiffin now. It's bigger than it's always been bigger. And is Ole Miss at 9-1? I never thought back then. I was just hoping to beat Bama. Now, the thing that little kid had been probably praying for, God, please, an Ole Miss national championship, is quite literally single-digit wins away for Ole Miss, your Ole Miss Rebels. Thank you, Lane Kiffin. Worry about that. But, buddy, it's never been a better time. Nothing but good problems for Ole Miss. Like, that is what matters, the now. And Lane has been kind of preaching that with his group, with the team, and they've said it. Like, Caden Lee was asked about Lane. I asked Caleb Odom about Lane. Because, like, I want to know what they're hearing from him. And they're all saying the same thing. Honestly, we don't care in so many ways. Because, like, for us, we want to know if we're going to beat Florida this weekend. Because they want what you want, the title, the true glory. And all the other stuff is just noise. The worst possible outcome here, Zach, the worst possible outcome is Lane Kiffin leaves for Florida. Maybe at least for LSU too, but I don't got that like Neil. I've been hearing I've been hearing that they're just not really in play here. And he really, you know, Neil did a good job of like laying that out. Like, yeah, they want to make him that way, but they've got some complications, the governor, the who's choosing, all this kind of stuff. So thank you. That's what I'm hearing. Like maybe that messiness, that maybe that's what I'm hearing too, why they're not really in play. But like, of course, I believe LSU would offer him that much money. I don't think they're in play to get Lane Kiffin. I think Florida is the threat. And it's a coin flip for me. But like if the very worst outcome of this is Lane leaves for Florida and Pete Golding or Joe Judge is promoted because of the lack of a considerate timeline, they couldn't really go after John Sumrall and Alex Golish and maybe James Franklin, who I think is seriously considering Virginia Tech right now. Maybe they want to talk to Eli Drinkwitz, who is, I think, the leading candidate right now at Penn State. And they can't do that because of the timeline. If the worst outcome is Lane is gone, you have won a playoff game or a national championship, and Pete Golding is now your head coach with the rest of the operation the exact same, the Grove Collective, all of it the same. I know the people giving the money. Yeah, Ole Miss is just going to keep rolling. Now, maybe Pete doesn't have the same dynamicism or Joe Judge or can't replicate or keep that going in some way, and you have to make a decision down the line. But if the worst outcome is you win the most games Ole Miss has ever won and possibly a title, and you're still going to be really good and a playoff contender, why is anybody worried? You know what I mean?
Well, am I wrong? Well, that's another thing, too, is like, okay, you talk about that all the time with coaching searches. Most of the time someone's taking your coach is because you're winning and you're doing things right. So, okay, if Lane Kiffin leaves, Ole Miss is still going to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
And you got all the infrastructure in place, go hire somebody. The other thing that I think about with like LSU and Florida is not a lot of people talk about like fit, like personality fit. I think Lane Kiffin and LSU would be the worst fit. Like maybe not as bad as Brian Kelly. Dude, could you imagine Lane Kiffin living in Baton Rouge?
No.
Like, and then everybody talks about Florida. Oh, Florida, like Lane loves to fish and he loves okay, it's in Gainesville.
Oh, that's the funny
thing. You might as well be in Georgia. Like it's not like you know, it's not like you're walking out of the practice facility and you got, you know, as Austin, our buddy Austin on Hit That Line said, it's not like you got your toes in the sand after you leave the office. Like it's Gainesville, like you're pine trees.
Will this got Napoleon Cornelia, will Knox Kiffin be a future Florida Gators quarterback? Well, here's the thing.
He's already said he's not playing for his dad.
Thank you, Zach. And I've been talking to a lot. Like, I've talked to more Florida side than Ole Miss side, really, because, like, the Ole Miss side is – the circle is small. It's like Lane and Keith. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest and call it what it is. Everything else is like – yeah, there's some – like, we know – we talk to all those people that are involved with that, but, like, really, it's that kind of like, yeah, we don't know. No one knows. Well, so I've been talking to and a lot of the Florida people, like everything from the Florida side, the best I can tell, no matter their sites, is coming from the Ole Miss beat. You know what I mean? And we're telling you openly. We're giving you everything we got. We're being honest, but we're saying, like, we don't know. And they're going, well, we feel as confident because they're most of their stuff is coming from us. But one thing that I've gotten is, like, the whole apparatus, the Gainesville apparatus as far as high school coaching and stuff, like, the biggest Gainesville school that, like, he could play quarterback at Knox if he transferred, right? Would be like it's coached by a dude whose son is the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, and he's the starter as a sophomore at Oxford High. Those are all considerations. Or Lane just wants to go to Florida. And if he does, then in this case, in that scenario, I guess Knox is going to Oregon to play for Dan Lanning. My question is, why are we talking about Knox in this way? Like, first of all, he's a prospect, but like, he's still got 3 years here. Who asked Knox? Who did that? Who the fridge did that? Adam Gorney of On Three Rivals. I do a podcast with him every week. I talk to him literally every week. Same thing with Lane Kiffin, at least twice, if not three times a week. I got to talk to him again today in about 20 minutes for the SEC teleconference. And I would never thought to ask Knox. Well, I have thought about it, but I was like, dude, no one's going to do that. Like, why would you do that? I immediately went, gross. Why would you ask him about his dad's job status?
The opportunity was completely whiffed by Adam. He didn't ask Knox what 6'7" meant.
It means nothing. Brandon Tyler, 7'14". We got to get out of here. I'm slightly different with Ben on my opinion. If you left to go to another SEC school, nobody can build a statue. NFL is a different story. You're right.
Okay. One thing on Florida, Ben. that I keep telling people, because I've said it on the show, said it on the board. If you ask me, my gut tells me Lane Kiffin stays. So if Lane Kiffin stays, who does Florida go get? I don't know what the odds are today, but I would put money on Jed Fish. And I don't know why more people aren't talking about this. Everybody wants to do the whole like Kiffin, Spurrier, he wears the visor and blah, blah, blah. Like Jed Fish literally idolized Steve Spurrier and literally begged him for a job for like a year and then coached with him at Florida, went to Florida. So like, why is the media not talking about this guy that like literally was obsessed with coaching at Florida and coaching for Steve Spurrier? I don't understand.
Because as Florida native, Jed is 29-31. That would be suicide for Strickland. And that is the main consideration. He is trying to protect himself. And the only way he'll be able to do that is if he can swing big and land Kiffin. And that is not a guarantee. I do think that right now it's really only Florida as a threat. And maybe others will come too. Here's the bottom line. At the end of this cycle, he's going to reset the market for average annual value for head coaches. He's going to get $13.5 million. Somebody's going to give it to him. It'll be Ole Miss. It'll be Florida. It'll be LSU. We don't know what's going to happen. But like Ole Miss, because of this, because of its investment in Lane Kiffin, wisely its investment in Lane Kiffin, over 6 years, no one thought it'd be that long. If he's gone, let it be. Ole Miss will have made the playoffs for the first time ever. Possibly, not likely, very, very unlikely, make the SEC championship game in Atlanta, which, again, that guy back in 2001, that little Ben, that's all he wanted, just go to Atlanta and match Mississippi State. State got to go. I want to go too, you know? But, like, all of those things that actually matter are in front of Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, like, I have more trust now in Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce and those cats than I do, just as much, if not more so, than Lane Kiffin. Like, not that I, that's not a disrespectful thing. Like, I believe that in Ole Miss is operating at a higher level than it ever has before. And for the first time in my 40 years of existence, I could say, yeah, like, it used to be the end of the world when coaches would leave. Now it's like, while I would put my money still on him signing the extension, even though it's a coin flip, if he leaves, okay, keep going. Like, I know, I believe in what Ole Miss is now. Oh. And they've got their single-digit wins away from winning a title. And not only that, this weekend, like, the visitor list, it's going to be a hard sellout, but the visitor list, Zach, is insane. You know, I almost called you Chuck and Neil, all the same thing. But, like, this visitor list, they intentionally kept the Citadel visitor list pretty light, because they said, just bring everybody from Florida. It's going to be a zoo. Like, Ole Miss is barreling towards all good things, closing good in recruiting, being in the playoffs, potentially competing and winning the national championship. Florida just got to be thirsty for its coach. What a hell of a place for Ole Miss to be in.
Yeah, and look, I will say this to Florida native 75-53. Jed Fish is a good coach. I mean, he had Arizona finished in their highest ranking in a quarter century.
But that's not the point. He's just saying, for like, I think what he's saying here.
To use a baseball term, everybody's all concerned about launch angle. Like, if we're going to do like a figurative launch angle, like, everybody looks for the splash hire. Just hire a dude that knows how to coach and wins and knows how to operate transfer portal, NIL, all that. Don't worry about what anyone thinks or like what is going to splash on the cover of ESPN.com. Just go get a guy that wins. Like John Summer.
Let me tell you about that splash on ESPN.com. You know what I mean? It's going to be gone by, like, if they post it in the morning and it's a big to-do in the morning, that shit's gone by noon. We have the fastest news cycle ever. Like, no one cares.
What's the tweet? A tweet's life expectancy is 8 minutes. Like, it's gone. Yeah.
It's gone. Like, here's what's the thing for me. Like, is you remember this? Maybe not as well as I did, but like, Ole Miss landing Laquon Treadwell was it could carry coverage on your website, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Sign up today for $1. It could carry that for a week. Now, it's maybe 3 hours. Like, if they pop at 9 o'clock, it's like by 8 a.m. in the morning, no one's talking about that. Of that's been de-emphasized. High school recruit. There's a lot of reasons for that. But what I'm saying is winning the press conference, winning the headlines, doesn't mean dick. not in the year of our Lord 2025 in this college football we know and love. In college football, you just have to be better and more efficient. It's like the Tampa Bay Rays in Major League Baseball. All right? Ole Miss has been operating like the Tampa Bay Rays. No, the Tampa Bay Rays don't have the same kind of money that the New York Yankees have. Or if Florida example for me, they're not the Dodgers, they're not the Yankees. Florida would be like the Cardinals. And I hate the Cardinals. You know what I mean? I know a lot of you could be like, I love the Cardinals because I'm a Braves fan. You know how this works. Whoever you think is the most insufferable fan base, Florida, that's what they are. Ole Miss is the Tampa Bay Rays. And Tampa Bay Rays are in the playoff contention or close to winning World Series right there in the chase every single year, not because they have the most money and the best resources. It's because they're better at everybody else or most everybody else, their contemporaries, at analytics, efficiency, operating their business, their structure better than everybody else. And that is not going to change for Ole Miss, regardless of what Lane Kiffin does. Rebel and Dave, I'm tired of Kiffin's job of shouting this great season for the Rebels. I am too. The next podcast is going to be only about the season ahead for Ole Miss. Because if Lane Kiffin doesn't have enough respect to quash it, and I appreciate his honesty this week, then let that be another thing. Let this be what's most important for Ole Miss fans, and that's winning the title. Give it to me real quick. Your top three prospects coming in this weekend, if you had to put your names on it.
Well, Tavian Branch, number one.
Yep.
Let's go. Carson Baker, Florida commit. And then not confirmed. Don't know, but if I'm going to go out on a limb, just for fun, five-star Jace Matthews.
Okay, there you go, Zach. Just put on your aggregation sites, people. Zach Berry of the Ole Miss Spirit on Three reporting Jace Matthews, five-star wide receiver, Ole Miss flip target, Auburn commitment, will be in Oxford for Ole Miss Florida this weekend. He can go out on a limb, I swear. You know.
Well, and hey, one thing about the comparing the Tampa Bay Rays, all that, you know, we've got Florida people saying that, you know, Ole Miss is coming after some of these Florida commits because, you know, they're more than willing to be competitive in NIL. Well, I was told that Florida had, you know, this endowment and have got all this money and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, like, blah, 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 blah.
It doesn't matter. Like, Jaden Rashada also thought that there was a lot of money down there, and turns out there wasn't.
Turns out they were kind of misrepresenting how good they had it.
So, like, it's all about NIL, man, just being competitive. And Ole Miss has shown that it is more than willing to do that and be competitive in the portal, which is ultimately why I think Lane Kiffin will stay. And, look, I could be wrong, and if I am, whatever, who cares? Won't be the last time. But I do think Ole Miss –
we don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows. This is my opinion. But
this is the best we got. However, I don't know why y'all value us, but I appreciate that you do at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, for the 1-3. I appreciate it. But, like, I can tell you, man, best I can tell, that Florida beat over there, they don't know Jack Diddley. Everything they're putting out there is coming from us, man. Nobody knows. Chuck, Neil, Chase, who now has got Ole Miss fans calling me Chief. You won, you son of a gun. You perfect friend idiot.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But I do know this.
I would go as far as to say Jimmy Sexton doesn't know.
Oh, Jimmy Sexton's having the time of his life. Dude, are you kidding me? He's like, oh, I don't know, Keith, but look what they have that y'all don't have.
I mean.
And all that means is ching for old Jimmy, who is, man. I got to get a light in the new revamped Ole Miss, not Ole Miss, Riverland Roofing Studios here.
Maybe Kiffin announces it on the Jumbotron dressed as Steve Spurrier for Halloween.
Sure.
And then he takes off the Florida visor and, like, opens his shirt and does a Ole Miss commitment, sign the extension thing.
All right, well, I got to go talk to Lane again in about 8 minutes for the SEC teleconference because it's the Lane Kiffin show. But for this show from now on, it's not going to be. It's going to be about something that I know I've been waiting to see my entire life, and I'm not going to let any of that derail it. But also fully acknowledging that, like, yes, Florida's a real threat. Not hearing the same about LSU. But I think right now the likeliest outcome, as a reporter for the Ole Miss Spirit, homespirit.com, for the ball on Thursday, sign up for a dollar, I would say it's either the Ole Miss extension or Florida for him. But we'll see. You know, it's definitely a serious thing. It's a coin flip at best, and he's intentionally keeping his options open. If you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance coverage, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. Drew's an Ole Miss grad, services 35 different carriers. Will make sure you're or you've got the right plan for you and your family. 601-953-8449, quoteswithdrew.com. Thanks to BNA Bank, my hometown bank. Call them today for all your banking needs, 662-534-8171. That's BNA Bank, 662-534-8171. Ask for Carolyn or Witt and tell them Ben is the reason you called, just to mess with them, like Chase messed with me today by getting Ole Miss fans to now call me Chief, which is a hilarious troll. Well done, my friend. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. Sign up today for $1. He's Zach. I'm Ben. Thank you, friend. Next time, only recruiting. Only recruiting, not an hour of Lane.
All right, let's go listen to the teleconference and hear Lane say the same answer that he's given for the past month.
If not longer. Every single time. Well, you know, that's just...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.